Okay, so 2 weeks ago, we did the sugya of Mukta Machmas Milus, and there we noted that fundamentally, the Gemara tells us that we do not paskin like Rabbi Huda's position, that there is such a thing as Mukta Machmas Milus, and yet, we find that despite the fact that we don't treat something as Mukta because it's disgusting, we have an exception called Graf Shel Re'i, where something is exceptionally disgusting in a place where you want to hang out. Right, literally a chamber pot. Thank you. There you go.
When I was younger.
Yeah. So that is permitted to move that. And the problem is, if we don't believe there's such a thing as mukta machmas mius, that something is mukta because it's disgusting, so why do you need an exception to say that if something is exceptionally disgusting, then you are allowed to move it? So we raise several possibilities, but the main possibility, the dominant possibility in post-game, which is what we'll focus on, is that really, we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda holds is that if something is a kli, something is a usable vessel, it's just a little bit disgusting and normal people wouldn't use it, but it is usable. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's mukta, and Rabbi Shimon says it's not, and we paskin that way. But if something becomes super disgusting that no one would use it, so then it is mukta, not because of what we call mukta machmas miyus, but because it moves into a higher category of mukta, namely the mukta of etzim va'avanim, of mukta machmas gufo, things which are unusable at all, and that even Rabbi Shimon agrees to, and that is mukta. It's within that category that the Gemara carves out its exception and says, however, if something is totally unusable and totally vile, then no one would use it, but it's in a place where its presence will disturb you on Shabbos, so then we allow you to move it from that place, and that's what we call the heter of Graf Shel Re'i, and that's what we're going to analyze today. The questions we're going to have to focus on, I've divided here, just to outline the questions we're going to have to deal with. One, we're going to see that this dispensation is contextual. Namely, right, it's not that something which is super disgusting is not mukta, it is mukta. It's that if it is present in a place which you want to live in, right, it's in your living room, so then we allow you to move it despite the fact that it is mukta. So we need to figure out what contexts count, right? If it's in your garage, then you aren't allowed to move it. If it's in your dining room, you can move it. But, you know, what contexts, what if it's something that most people wouldn't find that offensive, but you do because you personally find it offensive? Is that okay, or is it some objective standard? So we'll have to deal with that question. You can see that I put, you know, these as different categories. We'll have to deal with exactly what places are considered living spaces such that we can allow you to move it there. We'll have to deal with the question of when we say that it's permitted to move a Graf Shel Re'i, is that because it is now no longer muksa at all? Or did Chazal say, no, it is mukta, but we allow you to move it? The nafkamina will be whether we encourage you, if possible, to use a goy, right? Ask a goy to move it rather than do it yourself. Should you do it klachar yad, right? Should you do it in an abnormal way, or can you just move it normally, which is a machlokas, a poskim? Then we'll deal with the question of once you've removed it and you want to bring it back, under what circumstances can you bring it back? And in the end, I gave you a bunch of examples that the poskim bring up. We'll get through as many as you can. And then the last thing we'll have to deal with, which is a decently sized sugya, is that the Gemara says that enos and graf shel re'i lechatchila, that even though you're allowed to take advantage of this heter, you aren't allowed to create a situation in which something is in this category such that you're allowed to move it. We'll have to figure out when that's true, because they're contradictory Gemaras, and we have to figure it out. So those are the questions we have to deal with. Okay, so just to go over the Gemaras, which we saw briefly last week, but there's three Gemaras on this topic, or main Gemaras anyways. So the Gemara number one in Beitza says as follows, V'nosin klit v'achad adalef b'Shabbos. You can put a vessel under a leak on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Tana, im nismali akli shofich vishone ve'eno nimna. If it fills up, you can pour it out and there's no problem. Also, commit the Rabbah. So this happened right in in the mill house of Abaye. So Abaye came and he asked Rabbah, and he said, what am I supposed to do? It's going to ruin my grinder. If I allow this leak to continue, I want to clear it out. I want to pour out the water. What am I supposed to do? So Rabbah said, move your bed next to the where the leak is, and then the leaking water will be smelly and will be offensive to you. It'll become a situation of grof shel rei, and you'll be allowed to move the kli. You'll pour it out, and that will protect your grinder. So Yosef Abaye v'kakashalei v'chiyosin grof shel rei l'chadchila, and Abaye started, instead of doing what Rabbah suggested, he started asking questions. He said, really, am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to create a grof ab initio, or can I actually create that situation? But while he was dealing with the sugya, the whole thing collapsed, because you know he was right. This is how Reb Chaim used to say this, right? When he needed a psak with a heter, he would tell poskim, he would like write it, I think, to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan or sometimes to the Dayan and Brisk, and he would say, just give me a heter, don't tell me why, right? Because if you tell me why, I'll start asking, right? He said, you know, he started asking, and by the end, it you know he suffered. What? Maybe. So Amar Tesili, and he said it was coming to me, Davre Adamar, because I violated what you what Rebbe said. Amar Shmuel, Graf Shel Reiv, Avit Shel Meir Reglaim, Mutter Lotzien L'Ashban. The Gemara then says that if you have this chamber pot, either with any type of excrement, so you're allowed to move it out towards the garbage, towards the garbage heap, ukshu machziro, but when you bring it back, no mayim, u machziro. But when you bring it back, right now it doesn't have things in it, so then you can only bring it back if you put water in it. Suffer mina, the Gemara says, from here we see the grav shel rei agamana in bifnei atzmo. Lo.
What's the purpose of that one?
So, we're going to come back to that. You know what? I think I'm going to stop here in the Gemara, right? Because that is category, and that's like section, I don't know, like four or something, of these things. Okay, so that's the first Gemara. We'll come back to the last two lines when it becomes relevant. The Gemara in number two, again, it's going to be more relevant later, so I'm just going to say it outside. For now, the Gemara says that you're allowed to invite a non-Jew on Shabbos to a meal, but not in Yom Tov. The Gemara tries to figure out why this is true. Within its discussion, the Gemara suggests the possibility that when a non-Jew drinks from your cup, if he drinks wine, so the dregs are isurei hana because they're stam yenam, and therefore there is no use for them, and therefore you're mevatel kli meichano. Now, right, you can't move the cup, and you don't want to create that situation. The Gemara challenges this and says, why can't you move the cup? Right? It's disgusting to have cups with dregs sitting on your table. It should be a graf shel rei. You should be allowed to move it. And the Gemara says, that's true, but you aren't allowed to make a graf shel rei lechatchila. In the end of the day, we don't actually paskin this way, and we'll come back to why. And then number three, the Gemara in Shabbos tells you that you're allowed to move the excrement of a child so that the child doesn't, you know, end up touching it, playing with it, whatever. Right, you're teaching these right your stupid things to your son. It's not mukta because dogs eat it. Okay, I don't know. Fine. Maybe you'll tell me, but it wasn't. You couldn't use it yesterday. But that doesn't matter because rivers, we treat them not as mukta, because even though this water, right, wasn't here before Shabbos, right? You knew the water was flowing. You knew that people would, that the animals would go to the bathroom, the child would go to the bathroom, but that doesn't make it not muchan. So rather, what was the halacha? Right? You can move chicken excrement, so a katan doesn't move it. So the Gemara says, why don't you just say, why don't you just say the reason you can move it is because it's right? It's disgusting. And maybe you'll tell me you can only move a graf shel rei when it's in a kli, right? Because then you have the excrement in the chamber pot, and the chamber pot is at least a usable utensil, and that's why you can move it. But you couldn't move the excrement itself. It's not true. They found a dead mouse. They found a mouse, and he said, "Take it and get rid of it." Right? That's the disgusting thing itself. So he says, "Ba'ashba." it's a case where the excrement is already in the garbage, right, in the garbage heap. So then the heter of Graf Shel-Rei doesn't work because, as we'll see, it's a contextualist, or again, it is only permitted to move a Graf Shel-Rei in a place where you live. If it's in the garbage heap, you can't move it. But if your child is climbing around in the garbage heap playing with dung, then you're allowed to move it anyways, and that's why you need it. The Gemara says, "V'katam ba'ashbo my baile." Why is the child there? So the Gemara says, maybe not. B'chatzer. Okay, he's not in the garbage heap. He's in your backyard, and you have a pile of excrement in your backyard. Great. Chatzer nami Graf Shel-Rei-hu. So the Gemara says, still, your backyard, that's a place where you live. You should be allowed to move Graf Shel-Rei. The Gemara says, Be'ashba she'b'chatzer. It's with your, you know, a small garbage heap that is in your chatzer where the katan might be playing, but it won't have the heter of Graf Shel-Rei because you don't sit right next to your garbage heap, and that's why you need this additional heter that if the child is going to play with the excrement, you can move it. But what we're dealing with, therefore, is this category, that a disgusting thing, any place where you live, you're allowed to move it, despite the fact that it should be mutter, and that's what Shulchan Aruch paskens in four. Kol davar mitnev kegon rei v'ki v'tzoa bein shel adam bein shel tana golem. Anything which is particularly disgusting, excrement, vomit, human beings, animals, whatever. V'chayotze behem emayu b'chatzer sheyoshem v'mutter lotziem l'ashba. If they're in the courtyard, the yard where you're sitting, you're allowed to take them out to the garbage, or the beis hakiseh, or take them to the outhouse, b'afilu below kli, even without putting them in a vessel. V'imayu b'chatzer sheino darsham aser lotziem. But if they're in a place where you don't live, you're not hanging out, so then you can't move them. V'imyari b'pnei etinok shelo yislach lechba muter lechbos lov kli. But if there's a child who might play with it, so just cover it up. And Mishnah Berurah in 5 clarifies, and he says, "Afal pishu kli mikol makom ubechlal mukta machmas gufo." Right? What are we talking about? We're things that are, as we said, things that are so disgusting that even though technically they should be kalim, they should be vessels and not mukta, they're so disgusting. Mishum demalis harbe. It becomes mukhma machmas gufo. It becomes like sticks and stones because it's so disgusting. Chamer mistam mukta machmas mios. This is stricter than a regular case of mukta machmas mios. The kaimalam bereish simin shenyud demutter, because we paskin that something which is only usable but a little bit disgusting is permitted. We paskin like Rav Shimon. Degrafu ke'even v'domehen. Things with, like excrement are like sticks and stones. They are the higher level of mukta machmas gufo. Virak lohotzian mimakom shedarsham hetiru mishum kvodo. It's a special dispensation. You're allowed to move it from somewhere you live because of kavod abrios or whatever. Aval achziran sarach mayim. But to bring it back, you need to put water on it. Daaz matilin metaltlin ayidei hamayim. Okay. So, how disgusting does it have to be to be mutter, right? How disgusting does it have to be? So if you look at number 6, the Gemara says as follows: Yosef Rav Safar Rav Acha Bar Huna Rav Huna Bar Chinna VeYosef VeKamrei LiRabba Liv DeRav Nechemya Hani Kearos Heichi Mitaltalinon. According to Rabbi Nechemya, who, as we saw a few weeks ago, paskins that it's forbidden to move things on Shabbos unless you're moving them for their primary purpose. So he says, how are you allowed to move, plates once you have used them? Right? Reb Nechemya said, you're never allowed to move anything, even a kli shemlach de leheter, unless it's for its primary purpose. So a plate, I'm allowed to bring it to the table, a pot, I'm allowed to bring it to the table, a serving dish, while it has the food in it, because that's its primary purpose. But once I've eaten the food, so it doesn't matter that it's a kli, I can't bring it now to the sink to do the dishes or to just store it, because it should be muksa according to Mechemia, because washing dishes, it's not its primary function anymore. So Amr Hula Rav Safra midi dahave agraf shel rei. So Rav Safra says, no, it's true, Rav Nechemia doesn't allow you to move any vessel unless it's for its primary purpose, but if you have a dirty dish sitting on your table, it's permitted to move. So from here, the poskim note that the simple understanding of the Gemara is how disgusting something have to be. Not so much. Right? Not so much. It just has to be like lo na'im. Right? Unpleasant for it to be around, because how smelly, how uncomfortable is it to have a dirty dish on your table? Right? It's not like something that is, you run out of the room. It's not like a pile of dirty diapers when you just don't want to be in the room. A dirty dish is just, you want your table to look neat, and that the Gemara defines it as Graf Shel-Rei. So the simplest understanding of the Gemara is that how disgusting something have to be? Not that disgusting, just enough that it creates discomfort when it is there. So from the Gemara, I would say it sounds like it is a pretty low level. And the Gemara then repeats this. How, according to Mechemi, do you move plates? Okay. And if you look then at the Mordechai, in number 7, the Mordechai deals with the case of a candle, and he says, Ner shedlikubo b'Shabbos asur l'taltlo, a candle that had been lit on Shabbos, you can't move. V'yesh matirin mishum devi grav shel rei. There's some people who say that no, a candle, after it's gone out, obviously, but it's just disgusting to have around, and you're allowed to move it. V'ein zenachon, Mordechai said, they can't be. Ki chol ha-shotim yomru daninu datayu. Then everyone's going to say, it bothers me. Right? I'm an istinus. I just can't handle it. V'eino mutar el mishu istinus v'amachmir lo hifsid. It's only permitted to someone who is an istinus, who's particularly finicky, and then he has this cryptic line, and someone who's machmir doesn't lose out, which, as we'll see, many of the poskim change the girsa, because they say, what does that mean? What is machmir doesn't lose out? Right? Normally, to make a lo hifsid. But what do you see from the Mordechai? So, the Yesh Omrim in the Mordechai seem to hold the look. Anything which is even mildly disgusting, which again is the simple implication of the Gemara in Shabbos, in Kuf Chav Dalet, is Graf Shel Re'i. And the Mordechai says that's impossible. There must be a line. It can't be that anything which is mildly uncomfortable is Graf Shel Re'i. Then the heter is meaningless, or too meaningful, shall we say. Right? Meaning it's erased the category of things which are disgusting, and therefore Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. But he doesn't, so therefore he says, right, he doesn't tell you where you draw the line, but he says, look, a candle after it's burnt out, a lamp after it's burnt out, how disgusting it is. It's very, very low level. He said, that can't be. But he does recognize that Graf Shel Re'i is subjective. And therefore, someone who is indeed, right, a neat freak and can handle it, right, you know, you go in their house, it's always spotless, and they, like, their hands start shaking when, like, you know, a piece of paper falls on the floor, right? That type of person, it would be mutter. So the Mordechai tells you, on the one hand, he doesn't accept the argument that very, very, very low levels of disgustingness make something permitted to move from Graf Shel Re'i, but he does open the possibility that if you personally are an istinus, that for you, you are particularly sensitive that it would be permitted.
How would other people know?
What?
How would other people know?
They don't have to know.
Well, they might think that it's permitted.
Yeah, but he doesn't care, right? Meaning it's an objective statement. You're right. You could say, oh, well, he'll do it. But the answer is, you know.
Subjective, though.
Right?
It's subjective.
Right. Well, Jerry's saying, how would they know that it's subjective? They might think that if they see you doing it, that it's mutter for them, even if it doesn't bother them. Right? The answer is, I don't know. It's a Mar Zion issue on a mukta, on a, you know, I don't know. He's not worried about it.
If you're mildly unpleasing, then you're back to Machmas Mitz. So you're totally out of the category of Graf Shel Re'i anyway. So it's,
well, it depends, unless it's, well, that's, drawing the line is hard, right? It'd have to be something that you find very uncomfortable, but personally. It's hard to, right, pin it down. But you're right, right? At some point, right, trying to figure out how it's distinct from Muktzeh Machmas Mios is hard. But this is what the Mordechai says. The Bach tries to understand it, but the Bach paskins like the Yesh Matirin. He says, L'fiani adaiti dadik deker k'yesh matirin. He said, I don't know why the Mordechai is upset. Right? The Mordechai says that Graf Shel Re'i has to be really disgusting. A low level of disgustingness doesn't waive it. He said, what are you talking about? It's Gemara Mefureshet. The Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalet tells you that a dirty plate is a Graf Shel Re'i. Right? That's, you know, the Gemara. If you just skip down to right before the ellipsis. He said, Vavadai Dener Yashan. He said, and a lamp, right, that's, you know, after it's burnt out and it smells of whatever, I don't know what fuel you were using, right? It doesn't necessarily smell good. He said, how is that less disgusting than a dirty plate sitting on your table? It's the same level. Therefore, it's permitted. So what you have is, the Mordechai says, Graf Shel Re'i has to be a relatively high level of disgustingness. The Bach notes, the simple understanding of the Gemara, is not that way. That even something which is mildly disgusting is a Graf Shel Re'i. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in number 9, he says, Ne'er zeh she'amar she'asur l'tal t'lo, afilu l'tzarech guf l'tzarech makomo, asur. Right? This candle, after it's burnt out, you can't move it at all. V'yesh mi she'hitir v'lo niru dvarav. Some say it's permitted, and they're wrong. Or we don't paskin that way. And the Ramah says, V'yish omrim, demishu istinis, v'aner mois alav, mutter lotzio de la heavy the heavy little di day kagrav shel rei ba machmer lo hivsid. And some people say that in istinus, if it's us, if it's disgusting them, he can move it. So what do you get? So Shulchan Aruch seems to accept the following, right? Shulchan Aruch seems to accept half the Mordechai, namely that in order for something to be disgusting enough to be grav shel rei, it can't be a low level disgusting; it has to be at least mid level disgusting. But he rejects the Mordechai's argument that subjective disgustingness counts for grav shel rei, right? Because he doesn't quote the second half of the Mordechai, and he says that if you're an istinus, that doesn't matter. It has to be something that, objectively speaking, is at least mid-level disgusting, or it's not mutter. The Rama accepts the full Mordechai, which is that something has to be mid-level disgusting, but will accept subjective qualifications, and if you're an istinus, will allow you to do it. And as we saw, the Bach, right, goes even more expansively and says, no, we just lower the level of graft to something which is even mildly disgusting. That leaves us with Jeffrey's question, which is, then how is it different from Mukta Machmas Mius? But that is where the poskim stand. Yeah.
Once they gave us this concept of Rav Shel Rei, wouldn't the simple thing be that that's your litmus test? If it's...
Yeah, but the Gemara tells you a plate, a dirty plate, is a Rav Shel Rei. So...
No, so If we're going to have it as objective, then it's grav shel rei. Anything that...
Except the Gemara says that a dirty plate, right? Meaning, you're right. If I only had the Gemara that called it a grav shel rei,
right,
and used that as the, you know...
Yeah, that would have been...
That would have been easy. You would have said only something like vomit or, right, whatever. But then the Gemara says no.
Or if it's were subjective, if they allow the...
Correct. Correct.
But fine. Okay.
Again, as the Bach notes... It's the evidence that pushes you in the other direction, that the Gemara says a plate, a dirty plate, is grav shel rei.
Isn't this like partially societal / environmental? If you have a dirty plate and it's Israel and it's the middle of the summertime, I can understand that being gross.
It could be. I mean, look, you could always... you could always say it'll be flies. You could always say... What?
It's not as bad as grav shel rei.
I mean, look, it's not as bad as excrement. Right, meaning, look, it's clear the standard is lower than excrement. That's okay, clear, well, right? How much lower?
Yes, it's very hard to compare. There's a candle, a paraffin candle, a kerosene candle.
Okay, I'm gonna posit now, right, that I'm not, like, in post-skim, there are all these machlokot, right? Is this super disgusting? Is this not super disgusting? You're right. Drawing the line, right, figuring out what people 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago thought was disgusting, and then trying to figure out what is the parallel today is very hard.
Yeah, it makes almost impossible.
Inachanami. No, inachanami, but, right.
Obviously, they have different candles than we do. Usually, if a candle...
Correct. Correct. Look, this is descriptive, right? It's clear that the way the Bach understands the Gemara is that, okay, it's clear. Okay, let's say what's clear and what's unclear. What's clear is that the standard of disgusting doesn't need to reach literal chamber pots. Right, because whatever a plate is, I can't imagine it was ever as bad as a chamber pot. Okay, right?
That's granted.
That I'll grant, right? That, let's grant that. How, what is it, right? How disgusting was a plate? So, presumably, the Mordechai will defend himself from the Bach and say, look, like Adam says, I don't know, you're talking in the Middle East, and you're talking about, like, a clay, you know, plot with, like, grooves in it, and, right, like, I don't know, gravy got stuck in it, and flies are flying around it, and, like, you know, that's already mid-level, right? That's, you know... It's pretty disgusting. And therefore, he says it needs to be that level, but he puts a caveat on in for an istinus. Right? The Bach says, no, I don't assume that's what it was. I assume a dirty plate was a dirty plate was a dirty plate. It's, you know, a little bit uncomfortable, but big deal. And l'halacha, so the Bach is the most expansive. Mechaber takes the Mordechai's, you know, limiting read without the heter of istinus, and the Rama adds istinus, right, the subjective element. And then that, but the Mishnah Berurah notes that in 10, that he notes, Habach v'amogen Avram paskudaf mishenu istinis imu omer shemoz olav shar lesal kumel shulchan. Right, he notes that even though Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah don't accept the expansive position of the Bach, Mogen Avram did. Right? Umashma babach d'lo hikil ela b'ner shel cheres shumos bevadai. But again, even the Bach is going to start, right, starts making distinctions. It depends. Is it a clay one? Is it a wood one? A metal wood and shel eight? Aval shematechet lomois, but metal ones which are less disgusting. Again, I don't... A metal lamp is less disgusting than a wood lamp. Okay, sure. I mean, it could be. Uvederach Achayim mashmer diyesh lahachmer beino istinesu kedas aga. But the derach Achayim is machmer like the Rama. So even lahalacha, you have a machlokes of how expansive you can be. Now, what does it mean, ma'isa love? Right? How disgusting is it? What does it mean that it, you know, it repulses you? So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Haynu sheinu yochel lizbol sheimunach etzlo lacha shekava l'macha rayom." It means you can't handle it. It doesn't just mean like I'd rather it not be there. It means like it's mamish mafria, right? Like you're sitting there and like you can't handle it. Okay, lo tzio. So shari lo tziu misham munach b'makom acher gam isnes asul taltum makom makom mechuli alma. He notes that even for an istinus, right, we don't go as far as to say you're a neat freak, right? It bothers you because it's in the, you know, you need, you're such a neat freak that you need, you know, your garage to be perfectly clean. He says that's very nice, but that's not what we're talking about, right? Still, we maintain the heter only when it's in the place where you're sitting. Right, there's a level at which we say, look, I don't care how much of a neat freak you are, and you can't stand the thought of knowing that in your garage there's a little bit of, there's a dirty diaper, right? You know, ad kedei kach, we don't go. Then he says, what is this phrase, hamachmir lo hifsid? Tzarech lomer hamachmir yachmir vamekel lo hifsid. It must mean that the one who wants to be machmir, machmir, the one who's mekel, doesn't lose out. Fine.
Do you need to have some sort of din of an istinus? We're talking about particular things.
I think particular, right? Meaning I have a particular sensitivity to blood, right? If there's blood around, I will be an istinus, right? Diapers, you know, when you have three kids of that age, like at some point you just get used to it, right? Like it's disgusting. I mean, it is a grab story, I can move it, but like, you know, whatever. Like, you know, I have tolerance for certain things, you know? You know, there comes a point in life you just have to tolerate certain things. But blood I couldn't, I assume it's, you know, mainly Indian. Okay, I assume. Okay, what about the following? What if you can handle it, but you have guests coming, and you can't handle the thought of having guests with this on the table, right? I can deal with dirty plates. I really can. I don't care, right? But if I know Shabbos is coming, I know people are going to be around, then you get a bit stressed out. What about that? So you look at the Ron. This will be Rosh Hashanah in a minute. But the Ron just said, "Read to Hashem Rachbazal Tafilei Chasheish Bo Dvarim Asurin Betiltol Shari Lechabed Midiav Graf Shalrei." He notes this is true even of usher things, right? That even if you have something usher lying around, right, but it bothers you on Shabbos, right, because you're having guests, as we'll see in Rosh Hashanah in a moment, you could move it, right? Graf Shalrei could be even something that bothers you, really bothers you for other reasons. So Rosh Hashanah says as follows. Begeder heter graf shorei. I'm nachon lomar the kol shabala bayis or ishto mid bayishim pen yavo orchem yirad abayid isay there. Right? What if it's just that anything you or your wife will be embarrassed that guests will come and they'll see that the house is messy? Yimutil taltum al shulchan klibos v'chadom afal bishak klibos muatim veinu masrichim. Could you move? You know, a bunch of pits, even though they don't smell, they don't anything. So following in the line of the Bach and the Mort and the Gemara and Kol Chodalid, he writes. Right, he takes the more expansive position. He says, yeah, in the end of the day, once you follow the trajectory of the Magen Avraham and the trajectory of the Bach, based on the Gemara and Kol Chodalid, right, even though Jerry's right, Grav Sharei sounds like it has to be really, really disgusting. If you take the most expansive read, it's not true. It's anything which makes you uncomfortable. And therefore, he writes, you're having guests over, you can move anything.
What does it mean in that? The klipot is graf shorei. Or he said, yeah, you can take the klipot, even though you look like graf shorei, you can take also.
Right, I mean, he said it's under the, I mean, it's not actually graf shorei, but he's saying graf shorei is a category which tells you that something which causes you discomfort, because it's present, you can move. And therefore, he said, for these purposes, klipot, which you don't find objectively disgusting, it's just that you're having guests and you'd find it repulsive to have guests around.
He's going to agree also to move,
Potentially, right? Meaning that's what the Ron says, right? There are even something which is usher, you can move. And just to look, he says it in two places. I gave you in 12 and 13, he says the same thing. In Shulchan Shlomo, they bring the same thing. He says, Kir Shemunach and Patishim, and this is what Yaron said, yeah, if you have a hammer, Umas Mirim Ala Shulchan, right? It's not disgusting at all, it's just lo naim, right?
Ze
correct. He says, Correct. You could have justified it and say, you know, Tzorach Gufo, right? Klish Malacha Tzorach Gufo. But he doesn't say that. He says, Sheyitachin, Shezema Mash Mechuar Gami Malchol. He said, no one wants a hammer on their table, even during the weekday. Umutar Lashiro Meshulchan, Penyavo Orchem. You can move it just because you're going to have guests. Vechen Klipot, Vechadomem, Watim, Veena Masrichim, and Balabaito, Beitomit, Baishim, Penyavo Orchem, Yeruida Bait, Bofenzah, Rei, Sheim Zema Mash, Ini Mut, Mr. Bear, Deshari, Kigam Graf Sharei, Gorem Rak, Ini Mut. And just, I'll take a question, just, let me just see two sources, and get to the end of the section, finish my thought, and then I'll take questions on it. Here, it's, you know, you can see it's divided into sections, so you know, they're logical places. Ramosha was asked the same thing. This is the tshuva in the back of Tiltulei Shabbos. And he was asked, Ma'u geder heter b'tiltul graf shel rei, machashav graf shel rei, v'nitana eza shir bazeh? Is there any demarcation? So he says, tshuva uvi... That should be probably Vinyan. Hagdarat Graf Sharei Lo Shaykh Li Tin Shira Lotolo Lefi Adam Chetoloi Be'im Hu Mefuzar Daz Avilei Maos Yoter. He said, it depends on the person. It depends. Is it spread out? Is it one little place? Right? If you have seeds thrown all over the table, it's more disgusting than you have a little pile in the corner. Right? Umutar Lotal Tloma Shengen Umakom Echad Lo Avilei Kokach Maos Az Ein Bein Ainbo Heter Laharbe Inche. So then most people, right, you have on your table a few seeds in a little corner, no one's bothered, but Imu Avalamistan is Mutter, Upamacher, Hisberli Maran Shlita, Delobin Shemos Mamash. You don't even need to be disgusting. Filo Ilomak Ilo Makpid al Davar, even if you don't care at all. Kolkach, Ragish to Makped. Your wife cares. Al Ze Mahmar Orchim Shavola Bakrova Khadome Bhia Gavna Mutal Taplo.
Sure, this is Ramosha?
Well,
who does he refer to as Maran Shlita?
But this is in the section of the tshuva in the back, yeah, right?
Where he asked, who does Ramosha refer to as Maran Shlita?
No. It's not Ramosha writing.
Oh, it's
no, no. These, sorry, I should just clarify. Yeah. These are in the back of the Sefer Tzulei Shabbos of Rai Bodner. He asks Chalas of Ramosha, right? And he records them. So some of them he records Ramosha's actual answers, and some sometimes he said I asked Ramosha, and then he refers to Ramosha's Maran. But this is right. This is not Ramosha writing. It's Rai Bodner writing up his discussion with Ramosha. So lehalacha, what you see is that Ramosha, Rishon Zalman follow the more expansive view, right? Both accepting both kulot, both the low level disgusting and the istinus, right? The subjective and the low level. So you get all the heterim in, and that seems to be that the both can go in this way. And then I found this in the Marenu packet, right? From Eretz Chemda, they quote from the Sefer Ora Peninim, which is in his footnotes on the Ora Shabbos. Okay, great. But it says, he said, "Belamdai b'shur lefnei chaverim makshivim nidararti sheyesh la'ir miloshan shulchan aruch b'din graf shel rei kadu begeder din zeh goldavar metunav kagon rei v'kivitzo." You look at shulchan aruch, right? He says anything which is discussing like this. "Belama hiska rak dvarim elu shemuusim la adam aseret monim matzamenu klipim v'chayotze b'hem." He said, you read shulchan aruch, you have to ask the question. He doesn't bring low level examples. He brings, as Jerry said, the classics, right? Vomit and excrement. Right? He doesn't mention all the low-level things. So doesn't that imply against Ramosha, Shlomo Zalman, etc.? So Patam Chacham Echad Me'ashomin, who was Rav Chaim, Rav Mendel Binka Shlita, I don't know what that is. He said, no, you can defend it. And he said, by introducing the following distinction, it depends. Is it in your chatzer? Like Shulchan Aruch said explicitly. And he said, there's different gradations. It depends on context. If it's in your backyard, even most istanists don't care. You're having sunflower seeds and you throw the pits, right? You have guests coming, right? You don't tell people on your picnic, no, don't throw the seed on the floor. Even the biggest istanist, right, can deal with that. On your kitchen, on your dining room table, that's not true. But in your backyard, if there was excrement sitting there, you'd move it, right? If you had guests sitting on your patio, right? And therefore, he says, maybe you just have to bring in the context and say, no, Shulchan Aruch is saying, why do you need Graf Shel Rei? Why does the Gemara call it Graf Shel Rei? Coming to Jerry's point, because Graf Shel Rei is true in any place where you live at all. The lower level ones depend on context. The more of a dignified setting it is, the higher level you need. But if it's in your house or on your table, once you say it's subjective and it's a sliding scale, so it depends. If it's in your house, more things are considered Graf Shel Rei. It's on your table, more things are Graf Shel Rei. And that's how he understands it. But the majority of poskim, despite the literal words, Graf Shel Rei, take the more expansive view. and think that we can accept both the subjective standard and the "it just I don't like it" standard, which makes a lot of things being Graf Shel Rei. And yes, we still have the problem of why it's different from Muktzeh Machmas Mios. You're going to have to draw a line somewhere, but la halacha, this is what the post can say, so, you know, that's what we got. Yeah, Jerry.
I think at the beginning of this today, we talked about Mishum Kvodo. What does that mean?
Mishum Kvodo, well, so that's...
Is that a different thing?
No, what he's indicating there is that that there's a series of heterim, of which Graf Shel Rei is the most dominant example, where muktzeh is waived because of kavara adam. Right? Other ones are, for mace we have certain exceptions, right? For dead bodies we have exceptions, for sakana, right? Not like sakana snafashos, but like thorns that someone might hurt themselves, we waive it. So Graf Shel Rei is just the most prominent example of a series of waivers and right exceptions in muktzeh.
So the kavodah is going on the person, rather than Shabbos.
Right. Oh, not on Shabbos. No, kavodah of people. Right. If you look at Rabbi Bonner's book, he does this very nice.
That you can repair in the outdoors.
Right, meaning, that's not muktzeh, but yes, right, meaning it's part of a general category of waiving the rabbanans for kavod adam on Shabbos. So Rai Bodner does a very nice job with this, where he notes that Graf Shel Rei is one of the examples, and that's why the poskim will compare this to some of the others, like, the sakana of the thorn, right, which I don't know if we'll ever get to, but that I might have actually put it here just, you know, because I was delusional or something. I don't know. But I'm fine. Okay, so that's... Yeah.
So it's interesting where Bunyan goes back to the Orchim and says, Rach ishte makpelet azem machman Orchim. So tonight, if you have your midnight chalent and you couldn't care less about leaving the bowl on the table, but you know in the morning, Ora will come down and not...
So then you can move it. Well, you can move it. I don't think you have to wait until...
So the whole household...
Yeah. Meaning it's if... Right, meaning I don't think you have to wait until your wife comes and says, I don't want it on the table. I mean, to be fair, it's more likely Ora is having midnight chillin' than me. If it's me chillin', it's a 0% chance that I'm having it. You know. Yeah, exactly.
Discussion about objective and subjective and intimacy.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone says you need to wait, right? You don't need to wait, right?
Like, is it going on the whole household or just yourself?
No, it's your wife, your kids. Right? I mean, if I'm not going to be able to sit down because Mayor is an istinus, right? So that's also, right? It doesn't matter who it is, right? It's anybody. It's, you know, then you're I don't have to make the person who's an istinus move it, right? It's if somebody in the household is offended by it, okay.
This came up as well in terms of cleaning up a room, right?
Graf Shel Rei becomes a sniff, right? Adding to the possibility that it's considered mekomo,
right.
Correct. Gufo, mekomo, whatever. Okay, a place, right? So we said it has to be in a place where you're living. So I just gave you Mishnah Brura and then Sefer Hilchos Muktzeh, that's the art scroll book. Some of these I took from Rai Arya Leibowitz. He has a very nice shir on it, and he was very nice to put his whole source sheet where he retyped footnotes, relevant footnotes. So, like, when you see these typos, usually they're mine. They're actually not this time. They're actually his, but I have to thank him for posting it because it made my life easier. That's why you don't see so many cutouts from PDFs, because if it was me, I just take a PDF. I know you don't like it, but whatever. So place. So I just gave you the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura says, "Sheyoshrimba, Haini Shedarimba, Kagona Chatzera, Suyim Lefnei Abatim, Shumakom Drisa Regal, Vetiro Lefanotim, Mishum Kvoda, Vuadin Vamunach, Bemavli Bemakom Drisa Regal, Mutal Sakal Sadim." Right? It doesn't matter. Your backyard where people are, your courtyard where people are, the alleyway where people walk. The point is, where people are, right? However you get that. Fine. A field below Klee. Let's skip to the next one. Sheno Darsham, Bein Shulchatzer Acheret, O Shulchatzer Shachar Yabatim. He said, we can't move it if you don't live there. That means a backyard in your guest house, or the backyard that you don't go into. O Shulchatzer Bashbash Shulchatzer, Daz Asher Lotaltam, where it's in the garbage heap. Right? Any place that you aren't there, it's Asher. Asher Lotziem, Dulochazi Lamidi, Vuhu Mukta Kevin. And once you don't have the Graf Shel Rei yet there, it's Asher because it is an Evan. Fine. Skip to 17. So in Sefer Hilchos Muktzeh, he notes from the Sefer Megillat Sefer, Shekasa Vezel Shono. Gamnir Damash Heter Magin Avram, Mamunach Berachov, called Zedavka Bitsoshe Ishkashi Yidrusu Alea. He said the Magin Avram allows it even in a street, but he said that's only because a street, you know, you don't really care if there are disgusting things in a street. But if there's, you know, if a dog, you know, your dog goes in the middle of the sidewalk, said, you do care because people are going to walk. So he says, so that also counts. That, because that's Shekhatov and Makam Drisa Regel. But he says, "Avol nir deins and nachon," but he doesn't like it. He says that can't be true. So he assumes, the Megillat Sefer says that even in the public thoroughfare, you're allowed to move it, it's where people walk. The Sefer Chol Shabbos says, I don't think that's true. Because if it's in the public thoroughfare, right, so you'll walk around it, right, there's these things, and people just deal with it. All he's saying is it has to be a place where people are. It doesn't have to be literally. No, sorry. That's not what he's saying. He said the Megillat Sefer says it literally needs to be somewhere where you'll walk on it. Right? It's more machmir. Right? And Reb Simcha ben Cohen says, no, you don't need it to be where you're going to walk. It's where people are walking. Right? Meaning, right? The Megillat Sefer, it has to be literally like in the middle of the sidewalk where someone's going to step and get it on their shoe and that's going to be disgusting. He says, no, it's a place where people are and it's disgusting. Zeu. Okay. Question three. When we say it's mutter, is it totally mutter? Right, and therefore you don't have to rely on a guy. It doesn't matter whether it was done before Shabbos, whether you could have gotten rid of it before Shabbos or not. So this is basically a machlokes acharon. The Chazon Ish says as follows: Nirid meikra taras kelim sheetiru k'damrin Shabbos kufchav gimel hoter graftu kli shemalachto leheter v'lo chashiv mukta machmas miyusa mashengin k'mazeshu b'tashmisho. Chazon Ish says it's mutter legamrei. Why? What does graf sharei mean? It means that we move it back to the category of kli shemalachto leheter, right? That's quite radical, but that's what he says. Now,
which means
what?
You can actually clean it.
And therefore, there's no heter, right? Therefore, you don't need...
clean it out?
Yeah, you can clean it out, right? While the graf's in it, you could clean it out, right? Once it's not, it returns, but they've carved out the category that while the chamber pot is full and disgusting, it's like a kli shemalachto leheter. Now, I just note here that this is actually very problematic, right? Because since, as we noted, the majority of Rishonim and Acharonim explain that the difference between Mukta Machmas Mius and Graf Shel Rei and things which are usur because of Mius that we do paskin like is that Mukta Machmas Mius is still a Kli, and something which is so, so disgusting that it becomes Mukta Machmas Guvo is not a Kli. It's very hard to say that, oh, it's in the category of Kli Shemalachto Heter. Pashtus is, no, it's not Kli Shemalachto Heter, it's Eitzim Vavanim with a Heter. And therefore, the Chazon Ish position is actually quite problematic. And despite the fact that no one, before like the 20th century, late 19th century, no one explicitly said one way or the other, I think when you tease out what the Poskim did say, the Chazon Ish seems very problematic because the Chazon Ish implies that it's a Kli Shemalachto Heter, but that's not true. That would be Mukta Machmas Mius. That's not what we're talking about. We're something that's so disgusting it's not a Kli anymore. But therefore, in general, the Chazon Ish thinks that once something's a Graf Shel Rei, you're allowed to move it. You don't need a Goy. You don't need to worry about whether it happened before Shabbos. You could have dealt with it before Shabbos. Doesn't matter. However, this is not so Pashut. If you continue... and I gave you the Mishnah Berurah again, right, which we've seen several times, right? The Mishnah Berurah seems not to hold like this. He says, right, the Chazon Ish says that it's Kli Shemalachto Heter. The majority of poskim think, no, it's Mukta Machmas Gufo, and therefore it should be totally Aser. Based on this, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in 20, Upashadu, it is obvious, right? You always have to say Pashut when no one said it before you. But he says, no one had to say it before me. Now again, I have a methodological problem with this, which is, if it was so obvious, why didn't anybody say it? To be honest, you could say the same as the Chazon Ish, v'lo mitaymei. Right? You could say that, look, in a chanami, Graf Shel Rei is Eitzim Vavanim, but once Chazal said it's mutter legamrei, right? There's nothing stopping Chazal from saying, hey mamru v'hey mamru, it's totally mutter. Right? You didn't have to say what he said, but
there's no reason.
But there's no reason to, and that's why the Aruch HaShulchan said Pashut. But you could, but Mukta, there's chaos in Mukta, so whatever.
There's so many other ways to do it.
In Achinami, but the Aruch HaShulchan basically takes the position that since he doesn't agree with the Chazon Ish, that's anachronistic, but I'm going to waive that for a moment. He says, look, if Graf Shel Rei is fundamentally usur, we just grant you a dispensation to move it, because it's disgusting, then what should follow from that is you should minimize utilizing the heter as much as possible, and therefore he says, "Upashadu shim yachal asu sayidein yehudi yasel yado." If you can do it through a non-Jew, do it. V'chein mutav yidei katan me'al yidei gadon. It's better to do it with a child and not a adult. V'atam shu to lotsu biyadav the gadol kavod abrios. Because why is it permitted? Because kavod abrios is great. V'chein amim v'mavim makom jisus a regel, etc. Okay, then he just quotes the rest of the halachas. We'll skip, right? Everything else there is not a chiddush. Ramosha fundamentally agrees with him. I'll say it outside. Ramosha agrees with him. He just notes that he would tell a guy if he had a guy, but he would not tell a katan. Right? He would not tell a katan. For educational purposes, we never use katanim to violate Shabbos, and therefore he says, in principle, he agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan for a guy, but he would not for a katan.
If he has a goy
present, right? If you don't have a goy, then don't. But he said,
go look for a goy.
So that it doesn't sound like you need to do. But if there is a goy there, then you should ask the goy to do it.
The Aruch HaShulchan is very makbid normally on not asking a katan. The reason why he's okay asking a katan here is because it's fundamentally mutter.
Right. Because it's fundamentally mutter. But Ramosha says still it's a bad thing to do. Don't use it.
Maybe you should.
Rabbi Bodner in 22. Ray Bodner has this funny thing, right, where he asked Ramosha, he said, well, if the Aruch HaShulchan is right, so why did nobody say it? And he said, Ramosha told him, because it's obvious, right? Because it's obvious, right? It has to be. Why? He says, V'hizbrili, da'avu b'shlohu b'shar poskim. You're right, the other poskim don't bring it up. It just has to be that way. It's not perfectly mutter. Chazal said, you're allowed to move it because otherwise you can't sit here. And therefore, if there's another way out, this is the obvious part. This is obviously, if there is a non-Jew, there isn't. That's not a big deal. Similarly, the Aruch HaShulchan had a suffix. The Yeshla his stopping with Graf Shalreik, Sha'aitzimer of Shabbos, Yachol and Akosim Vibod Yom, Sheyada, Sheyit Starach Leish of Shambi Shabbos. What if you could have gotten rid of it Erev Shabbos, and now you just didn't? Imlonik Vibod Yom, Imutl and Akosim Bishabbos, are you allowed to move it? Ube Gemara, Kufchof Aleph, Mash Lehdi Davka Shinimtza Bishabbos. It sounds like it's only if you find it on Shabbos. V'chein Mistaber, T'chein De Yochel Lasim Vod Yom Lo Nitr Bishabbos Elim Kena Yidei Eino Yehudi. And therefore he says, I won't allow you to move it. If you had the opportunity on Erev Shabbos, he'll allow you to use a goy, because he's not totally sure this is true, and once it's a goy, it's already more makel, fine. Now what was his suffix? I assume his suffix was that, look, on the one hand, you waived it. Really, it's usher, we just waive it. So you would say, okay, if you're waving it, but it's really, really usher, so you should try to avoid it. Mitzad sheni, if you didn't avoid it, it'll ruin your Shabbos. So it may be that Chazal would say, okay, we're not going to be konis you to move your Shabbos. So he's not sure. But fundamentally, the reason he's misopuk is because, again, he thinks l'shitaso, that it's really usher, we just waved it temporarily, and therefore you should try to avoid it. In 24, and again in Ilchos Mukta, and this is the Arch Scroll one, he writes, Omnam Efshar Lomar, Digama Elya Rabba, Modi Begraf Shalreish, also Sagshar Lefshar Lassirum Erev Shabbos. He thinks Elya Rabba thinks it's usher as well. Didafka Bekot, Yehezek L'Rabim. He said, some of the poskim try to argue on the Aruch HaShulchan and say it's not true, because the halacha is that you're allowed to move a thorn in Rosh Hashanah, even if you could have done it in Erev Shabbos. So he said, some of the poskim say, well, if you're allowed to move the thorn, which is the same thing, it should be usher, but we waive it for the protection of the community, but we allow you, even if you forgot Erev Shabbos, the same thing be true of Graf Sharei. Rai Bodner notes, Rai Cohn notes, why? He said, Dafka Bekot, Yesh Behezek L'Rabim. No, there's a difference between a thorn, which if you leave it, sure, you should have moved it in Erev Shabbos, but now people are in danger. Fine. You were irresponsible in Erev Shabbos, so we're going to punish the whole community? That doesn't make any sense. But if it's in your house and you're going to suffer, so suffer. Right? Your fault. Okay. Now, what happens if...
it's very important to say that. It's, yeah. Only in here, only in this book, you can find this. All the other poskim...
Correct. All this is in modern...
Even the Shmirat Shabbat don't poskim like this.
Like which one?
That you cannot move it.
Oh, yeah, the Erev Shabbos. Yeah.
It's not that he decided that this is a...
For sure. I'm not...
The Pinyal HaChayim do not mention it, and the Shmirat Shabbat, in a footnote, said...
The Erev Shabbos says... Correct. Correct. I'm not saying you should paskin like it, you know, but... Yeah, now in general, Rav Shlomo Zalman is more makil. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't take this. You know, I mean, I can skip, but, you know, let's go in order here. But you'll see in 30 that in general, Rav Shlomo Zalman isn't this machmir. Fine. One of the cases the poskim point to try to clarify this is the Mishnah in number 25. The Beis Shammai Omrim Magbien Min HaShulchan Atzamos Uklipin. If it's all Omrim, no tells the Tavla Kula Uminara. Right. A third question the poskim ask in this context is, right, one was, do you need to use a goy? Two was, what if you could do it before Shabbos? The third is, if I have the opportunity to move it in a Klacharya, do I have to? So they point to the fact that we have this Mishnah, which deals with something which we've already said might be in the category of Graf Shorei, right? Bones and pits and the like, and peels, where Beis Hillel says in the Mishnah, that we flip it, that what you should do is you should shake the table rather than move it itself. So the Rajba writes, we end up saying this is Rabbi Yehuda. Right, so the Rajab has two answers why this is necessary. We'll leave the first one for a moment. He says, why is this a Rajba? I must have taken it from somewhere else. Okay. In the second answer, oh no, that was my note, right? I made a note and just got swallowed up. In his second answer, he says, why is this true? Why you let him move it? Because it's Graf Shorei. But what does that imply? The Rajba says that something was a Graf Shorei. If possible, you should move it, Klachariyad. You should shake the table and get the Graf Shorei off, rather than move it directly. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin this way, right? That when you have these, Atzama Shurim Leklavim, Klim Shurim Lamaychal Adam, all that, so then it's Mutter. But if they're still edible, even for a dog, so it's mutter. But at the end, he said, "Ainek liben ruyim lemaichel behema." But if these are totally unusual bones, also l'taltem l'menaris l'tavla behem no flim. I mean, the Elia Rabba in 28 says, "Tzarich ion shekasu achron rafil yesh b'vayis klipia goes into muktzame mutter l'chavdem b'knaf avzod havel lididei grav sharei." So the Elia Rabba says, why can't I move it? Right? Why can't I move it? So he has two possibilities. Right? He said, one is, when things are on the table, it's not that disgusting, and therefore we require you to shake the table off. If it's on the floor, it's really disgusting, and therefore we allow you to pick it up. On the table, it's not so disgusting, so we make you shake off the table. His second answer is, or because on the table it's possible to move them without touching them, you can move it by shaking the table, we forced you. So you see, the Elia Rabba is mesupik about this point. In his second answer, he says, if possible, you should always shake it off. In his first answer, he says, no, it depends how disgusting things are. If things are really disgusting, so then we allow you to move it with your hands. If they're not so disgusting, then we invent a new category and say, you're allowed to move it, but only klachariyad, but not always. The Eshel Avram Mibuchach in 29 dealt with this with a cat, right? Or the case of a cat. At first I said you can't move a cat out on Shabbos. So I said, if you have a cat that's disgusting, chase it away. But then the maid went and took the cat by the tail and threw it out. And I didn't stop her. Right? So the Eishel Avram Mibuchach also seems to... he argues that the chatul is also Graf Shorei, right? This vagabond cat, right, is Graf Shorei. And you see that, again, he's noted to say, you should try to do it klachar yad, right? You should not pick it up if you don't have to, scare it away. But he wasn't so convinced. When he saw someone doing it, he didn't yell at her.
Your assumption that the Mishavetit is not the guy?
It sounds like that. It sounds like it's a Jew. Otherwise, why would it be Moche? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in 30 says, "Mashman deino chayv l'talto min atzad o bigufo." He says, "I don't think this is true." Right? He said, "What is it? What is he?" He says, "I don't think this is true. I think you don't have to move it klachar yad." Behind the mishum nechashu b'keter v'klo gedichoi. Right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "I don't think this is right. I think it's a heter and not a dispensation. He said, maybe you'll have to say that even so, right, you don't do it lechatchila, whatever. But fundamentally, and this is, Yaron's right, right? Meaning not everyone quotes this. People don't necessarily say explicitly that these aren't true, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman, as you see, is more of the Chazon Ish camp. That he says, no, it's a total heter, and therefore you can speculate that maybe he doesn't require you to do a klachar yad. He seems to, right? He justifies the position, doesn't seem to think so. Therefore, he might also agree that if you could have done an Erev Shabbos and you didn't, it would still be mutter. I don't know, but you have these two camps in the poskim, Chazon Ish and maybe Shlomo Zalman, who say it's totally waived. You don't have to worry about doing it Erev Shabbos, you know, Klachar Yad, etc. And then the Aruch HaShulchan, Moshe Feinstein, Ray Bodner, Ray Cohen camp, who say no, it's held in abeyance, and as much as you can minimize it, you should minimize it. Yeah, Jerry.
The Chazon Ish position, how much weight was that given over the years?
He's the Chazon Ish, you know? That's the answer, right? Is I don't know if he's majority or minority, but he's the Chazon Ish, and therefore, you know, certain people will always pass on the Chazon Ish, you know, come what may. Some won't, right? Minchas Yitzchak's tshuva is like that. He'll be like, I think this is totally wrong, but the Chazon Ish said it, so there's nothing I can say, right? Like, the Chazon Ish is the Chazon Ish. That's the answer to it. I don't know, right? It's the Chazon Ish, like, you know?
He's the father of an entire school.
Yeah, like, sure. Okay, we only have 5 minutes left, but I think I can do the next 2 points. Okay, I'm going to skip just for a moment to Dugma Oat. Classically in post-game, in classic post-game, they say that only a dead mouse is disgusting. A live mouse, you know, apparently people used to not find it. Yeah, it was cute.
Mickey Mouse.
Rebbe Yashiv says very reasonably, no. Either, maybe that was true once, but it's not nowadays. He said, no, live mouse, dead mouse, right? Ew. Right? Nowadays, we don't want mice. Fine. I think that's reasonable. What? We're going to get into Baal Chai at a different point, but it's fine. Pat Masriach, what about like moldy, smelly bread? Ray Bodner says it's Graf Shel Re'i. And his svara is a footnote. One word, pashut. Right? He said, bread, molding food that smells, that counts. Really dirty pots, fine. Diapers, he just says, pashut, 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 pashut. The answer is, it is pashut, 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 pashut. Your garbage can, right? It's super smelly, pashut, right? This is where those things, some of the handbooks drive me crazy. Like, we have a very nice one over here with color pictures, where all it is examples. So it's color examples of disgusting things. For Grouchy, right? Sure. You want to look at a million examples? Fine. Diapers, garbages, mice, whatever you want. Fine.
There's cats also, right?
Cats, whatever. Okay, the last point I want to get in today, and I don't know if we'll do this next week. It's a whole other, really, sugya, or I'll record it. We'll see. Which is Enos and Graf Shorei Lechatchila. This is just very quickly the question of Hachzaras HaGraf. So we already saw this. The Gemara had said in Shachar Paskin Sway in 31 that Avo Bishamot Lehotzi Graf Shorei Vavachomer Ragai Maser Lachzirim Elim Kenosim Zochamayim. You're allowed to take them out, but to bring them back, you have to put water in it. And be metaltlit al gabe mayim, because once it's cleared out, it's not that disgusting anymore, and the heter is dissipated. And Mishnah Berurah just knows the hotzi graf, graf avich nam shel cheres el shel rei nikra graf. He just notes that these are all the same thing; it just depends what they're made of. Just skip to Kuflam and Zayin. He said elam ken kazem magram da odo biyado motalach zero. But the Magen Avram Lishitaso says that this is only when you've put it down. If it was in your hand, so the Magen Avram in general says whenever anything is in your hand, you don't, right? So you're allowed to put it down wherever. So the Magen Avraham says that you only need, right? When the Gemara says you need to put water in the Graf Shel Rei in order to bring it back to the house, that's only if you put it down. If you didn't put it down, you're allowed to move it. But the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Prima Gadim aren't sure about that. The Eliyahu Rabbah and the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadim say, no, even if you're moving it back, you might have to put water in it. That's a bigger sugya of when we say that it's a magic heter when it's in your hand and not. But just so you know, he notes this is only when is this true? If the water would be drinkable to an animal, but if the water will be filled with excrement and even an animal wouldn't eat it, it remained a graf shel rei. but it's a Grav Shel Rei now in your garage, right? So if you move it out and the water you put into it, it will be so disgusting that it's unusable, then the thing remained a Grav and you have to leave it in your garage. There's nothing you can do about it. And then he notes, "V'hinei desazim shulchan aruch mashmen afil ein tzarich lotzi botzom eraglaim shari lachziro al yidei mayim v'yesh machzir mirin bazeh." And he said, "There's a machlokes haposkim whether you're allowed to bring the chamber pot in only when you think you're going to need it, or even when you don't think you're going to need it." That he notes is a machlokes achronim. Okay, I gave you one more tshuva here, Bar Moshe by Shlomo Zalman on the topic, but whatever. It's not the biggest deal if we're not usually bringing chamber pots in. I mean, whatever, your garbage, it is a problem, right? But presumably your garbage you can bring, because once you've taken it out, it's a full kli. Right? It's not quite like a chamber pot, right? A garbage can without a garbage bag in it presumably is not that disgusting. That's my guess. I don't know.
I think that's going to vary.
You think so? I don't know. I don't know. But there, whatever, you'll rely on the mug and Avram. If you rely on the mug and Avram, if it's still in your hands, right, you dump it out into your, into the green bin and you take it back inside. So according to the mug and Avram, it's fine. I don't know. Okay.